From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Christ has grace without measure in Himself, but He has not retained it for Himself. As the reservoir empties itself into the pipes, so has Christ emptied out His grace for His people. Of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. He seems only to have in order to dispense to us. He stands like the fountain, always flowing, but only running in order to supply the empty pitchers and the thirsty lips which draw nigh unto it. Like a tree, He bears sweet fruit, not to hang on boughs, but to be gathered by those who need. Grace, whether its work be to pardon, to cleanse, to preserve, to strengthen, to enlighten, to quicken, or to restore, is ever to be had from Him freely and without price. Nor is there one form of the work of grace which He has not bestowed upon His people. As the blood of the body, though flowing from the heart, belongs equally to every member, so the influences of grace are the inheritance of every saint united to the Lamb. And herein there is a sweet communion between Christ and His church, inasmuch as they both receive the same grace. Christ is the head upon which the oil is first poured, but the same oil runs to the very skirts of the garments, so that the meanest saint has an unction of the same costly moisture as that which fell upon the head. This is true communion, when the sap of grace flows from the stem to the branch, and when it is perceived that the stem itself is sustained by the very nourishment which feeds the branch. As we day by day receive grace from Jesus, and more constantly recognize it as coming from Him, we shall behold Him in communion with us, and enjoy the felicity of communion with Him. Let us make daily use of our riches, and ever repair to Him as to our own Lord in covenant, taking from Him the supply of all we need, with as much boldness as men take money from their own purse.
Yeah.
Pastor A.W. Tozer was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century. A self-made scholar with an insatiable hunger for the deep things of God, he was known to often burn the midnight oil in his study, seeking a more profound experience of his Lord and Savior. His book, The Pursuit of God, is the result of long meditation and much prayer. It is not a collection of sermons. It does not deal with the pulpit and the pew, but with the soul athirst for God. Some of the chapter titles include Apprehending God, The Gaze of the Soul, and Meekness and Rest. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. On today's program, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled, God's Saving Power in His Son, part of this series in Romans chapter 8. The text is verses 3 and 4, in which the Apostle Paul explains why there is no condemnation for those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The law of God could reveal sin and pronounce God's judgment upon it, but it had no power to deliver men from their sin. But what was impossible for the law, Christ accomplished by his death on the cross. On Calvary, God punished our sins in the flesh of his dear Son. God did not lower the standards of his law to save sinners, but by his death, Christ fulfilled the righteous judgment of the law. Verse 4 speaks of believers as those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those who are truly saved will have a desire to live holy lives, for justification produces the fruit of a sanctified life. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, God's saving power in His Son.
When God condemned our sin in Christ, all the condemnation of the law was visited upon our sin. Everything that would bring us down to hell, everything that would bring us under the everlasting fire of the wrath of God, separate us from Him forever. All that the law would have to do with everything in us that would lead us away from God has been dealt with in Christ. Everything. I want you to understand that. If there's one sin of mine against which the law of God has not brought its entire condemnation, if there's one sin of mine that Jesus Christ did not personally bear in His own body on the tree, then I'll be damned eternally. Thank God, there's no condemnation. As I pointed out, it's a very strong negative. There's no condemnation of any description or any kind. There's no condemnation to any extent or for any time. Them that are in Christ Jesus, because the righteous judgment of the law has been fully executed upon us and our sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, this is taking me where the text doesn't go, so I can't really go there. Cardinal rule of preaching, stick to the text. But I'm going to take it in a logical extension. Can you now see the importance of the resurrection of the Savior? How do I know He did all this? How do I know He succeeded in doing all that? Romans 4:25, He was delivered, that's the cross. He was delivered for, the word means because of, on account of. He was delivered to the cross on account of our offenses. He was raised again on account of our justification. Jesus paid it all. He accomplished it all. No failure in the work of Christ. Let those words resound in your heart. Let's take the confidence from them. How can I ever be sure that I'm saved unless I'm sure that Christ did exactly what He said He would do, exactly what the Bible says He did. Let's understand what He did and the perfection with which He accomplished it. And you've got the ground of your security and assurance. There's one thing I have to say in closing. My time is gone. But this is worth noting. The fifth great truth that I state is this, that God gives the evidence of the reality of this justification in His people. Because they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, the claim or the right of God's law is not only that its penalty should be paid in full, but that its moral perfection should be observed. And in Christ, God has provided for both. So that when He justifies a man, that's not where He stops. Justification never arrives alone. Justifying faith can never be alone. It is a great root that produces instant and ever increasing fruit. The great Princeton theologian Charles Hodge was very blunt about this, and nobody was clearer on the fact that justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, and the merits of Christ alone. And yet Hodge, in the middle of all that, says the benefits of Christ's death are experienced only by those who walk not after the flesh. The gospel is not antinomian. Make a decision and live whatever way you like. That's not the gospel. The man who's ruled by flesh is ruled by the devil and ruled by sin. So Hodge again says, the benefits of the death of Christ are experienced only by those who walk not after the flesh. The gospel is not antinomian. Those only are justified who are also sanctified. You're not justified because you're not walking after the flesh. You're not walking after the flesh because you're justified. You don't get into union with Christ. You don't get into salvation because of how you walk. You walk because you're in Christ. Why does an apple tree bear apples? Because it's an apple tree. Does it bear apples and then become an apple tree? No, it doesn't. It's an apple tree first. And how do I know it's an apple tree? Because it bears apples. What's the evidence? It's in the fruit. And when God justifies us in this glorious way, He gives us the evidence of that justification. Great Church of England bishop put it this way, talking about having justified us, God proceeds to create in us, and I quote his words, a true, living, working consent to the principles of the law. The consent of full conviction and of a heart whose affections are one to God. How? What's the evidence that God has done a work? I would to God we could say it's because we're sinless, but we're still in the body. And the redemption of the body awaits a future time. But why we're not sinless? Let me tell you, there's a radical change in a Christian. There's something in him that hates his own sin. What used to love that sin now hates it. There's in him a consent to the holiness of God's law. In every Christian, there is a full-hearted conviction. There's a heart affection to God and His law. I've often put it this way. Give a Christian his heart. Let him live the way he wants to live. Ask a Christian, a true Christian, how would you really like to live? What freedom would you really like to experience? And every true Christian will say, I'd love to live in absolute conformity to Jesus Christ, in absolute obedience to the will of God, in sinless fulfillment of the law of God. It's the hypocrite who covers his sin with a profession of grace and faith who will say, I profess faith in Christ. But, oh, I wish I were free to go out into the world. I wish I were free to get into all the things of this filthy world. If I could do it without any divine reprimand, if I could walk that broad way without going to hell, that's the way I want to go. Man, that's the heart of a hypocrite. That's the heart of an ungodly, unconverted, unsaved man. But the heart of a believer is that having just been justified, he has been sanctified so that there is in him, in the depths of his being, a holy working consent to the law of God and a full conviction and heart desire of affection toward God and his holy law. That's how God works. Justification never comes alone. God has established an infallible link between justification and glorification. No justified person will ever be damned. Romans chapter 8, 29 and 30. Whom he did foreknow, notice how he starts in eternity. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's this link between justification and glorification. But what is glorification? Glorification is perfect, sinless conformity to the image of his dear Son. And the work of confirmation does not wait the resurrection. It starts as soon as God justifies us. Now, that work of being conformed to Christ is not yet complete, not yet perfect. The moral perfection of the law is not yet experienced by or but it's acknowledged and it's desired. Put it this way, believers are not what they're going to be. But thank God we're not what we used to be. You could put up that sign that you sometimes see in a business premise. You could put that up over the life of every Christian under new management. Oh, they're still the old premises. Your body's ugly, it's still going to be ugly. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. When I say that, my mind goes back to when I was just a young fella. The young lady in our church wasn't in my age group for me to be interested in. As I said this morning, at that time, I was more scared of them than anything else. But when I look back, in fact, when I thought then, she was not blessed with great physical beauty. But I have to say, she was one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen or ever known. There was a glow. There was something that came from the inside. And when you looked in her face, you saw something more beautiful than any physical beauty. So perhaps it's not quite true to say if your body's ugly, it's ugly still. But you get my meaning. We're in the old premises. With all the corruption the body is still capable of. But yet we walk not after the flesh, but after. That is under the leading and the control. Does he not go on to say, and we'll get to this in due course, as many of us as are the sons of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. He turns it the other way around, but I'm saying it this way for clarity for us tonight. If you're the sons of God, you'll be led by the Spirit of God. Walking after the Spirit. According to the Spirit. But I like the idea of after. And the idea here, in my mind, is I'm walking after the Spirit. He's leading, and I'm following. It's the mark, the inward mark of a Christian. And that's the proof that they're in Christ. And in Christ, there's no condemnation. I trust tonight that you've seen something that I have prayed and labored that you would see. God has done a great work for his people. That's the message of this text. What the law couldn't do, God has done. The law couldn't, and do you see this? The law couldn't save us, but it couldn't turn us loose. The law couldn't save us, but it couldn't let go of us. Couldn't save us, it had to damn us. That's the law. But God has saved us. And he satisfied the law. This is the part that thrills my heart. So that now even that law, which if I could use the terminology was baying for our blood, that law has to cry, my righteous judgment and sentence has been fully satisfied. And I look at all those people in Christ and I say, there is therefore now no condemnation. What a God. What a Savior. What a justification. I trust tonight that this is more than doctrine, more than words. I can give you words, but oh, may God the Holy Spirit take us beyond words and get us into a place where, as Dr. Barrett prayed at the opening of this meeting, we would be overwhelmed. Absolutely overwhelmed with our God and with His lovely Son, our incarnate Savior. Here is the saving power of God in His incarnate Son.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.